Thank you, Kim. Oh, hello, everybody. So I'm very aware that we want to hear this word and we want to go out and enjoy the rest of the sunshine tonight, don't we? Because it's beautiful. And our young people have just been bouncing on a bouncy castle and getting a little bit wet. Are we dry yet, young people? No, we're not dry. And there was also talk of another water fight happening after. So anyone, if you want to come and join, then do feel free. So the summer is nearly here, school's about to finish, there's ice creams, you can drive home from church at 8 o'clock, and it's still light, and you're like, wow, remember when it was dark and it was cold, and it feels so long ago, doesn't it? So in many ways, there's lots of things to celebrate at this time of year. But as this sermon series has taught us, we are constantly aware that there are still struggles. And as we have spoken about this idea of our kingdom and God's kingdom. And last week, Kim used the phrase that I want to quote again, called this idea of a dual citizenship. Like, we live in this world, but we want to see God's world come, don't we? But we're not there yet. She spoke about that gift of love that God entrusts us with, that can be used as a weapon to fight. And this week, as we come to the end of this series, The Strength for the World We Live In, I want us to think about how we can be a people who reveal what can be hidden to one another. How we can make God revealed amongst us. Sometimes that reality of Jesus being alive and being present can feel impossible to accept and impossible to believe. And I think we can be people who confidently say that, no, Jesus is alive. Jesus is a resurrected God. And that's the weapons that we can use to fight to see God's kingdom come. Just as we were praying earlier, Martin prayed that we can see Jesus come and we can know Jesus in so many different ways. And as we share communion later, one of those ways is in the breaking of bread. But the passage I want to focus on tonight is from Joshua 3. And Sam, just in a minute, is just going to come and read the first bit of it. But there's one line in this chapter I just want to start with, which says, "You have never been this way before." That is Joshua talking to the Israelites. He says, "You have never been this way before." And I wonder if you can recall a time that you stepped into an unknown place or an unfamiliar environment. Maybe it was D of E. Young people, a few weeks ago, and you just had no idea where you were going. There's some chuckles at the back. Or maybe you went the wrong way somewhere. Or maybe it's more emotional. Maybe it's how to deal with a broken relationship or how to deal with conflict. Maybe you just don't know how to deal with things. What you needed in those situations could not be found. We all come across things that shock us and surprise us and make us feel like we're out of our depth and not doing life very well. It's called vulnerability. Maybe it's even God himself. When you feel that you need him most, he is just not there. Well, when I was thinking about all of this, kind of wanted to put a bit of a joke on it, really. And I was thinking about the older generation that we have all around us today and their relationship with technology. Because I think older people... I say older, and I mean, you know, older people. And Well, I do have a story that is real, that is true, okay? So just a few weeks ago, me and Megan Watts actually joined the 11 a.m. Holy Communion group. And we sat down, and Megan was sending a message, I think, on her phone. And she was like, "I'm so sorry for messaging at the table." You know, she knew she probably... just being a little bit out of the conversation, and she was like, "I'm so sorry." And then this older couple, again, I'm not being very polite, am I? We're like, "Oh no, don't worry, it's absolutely fine. I know what your generation are like, messaging all the time. We just don't know how to use this new iPad that we've bought. We just get so worried and so anxious just turning it on. We just don't know how to use it. So it's in the drawer. We're never going to see it again because we bought it, but we're actually just not going to use it." And so I've got some little funny slides, actually, Jasmine. I don't know if you can play the first one. I just Googled certain generation and technology, and I just thought they were really quite funny. Have we forget one. Oh, maybe the second thing. That's my advert now for tackling this problem. Okay, here's a grandma who sends the slowest picture message ever via, you can see it's printed off and she's clearly put it in the post. Okay, another one. Okay, this is someone's mum saying it's a beautiful day, wish you were here, look at the view. And then mum, you're covering the lens. And she sends it again. Another one, how to zoom in. Is there another one? Oh, that's a nice man who's somehow got a little heart, I think, stuck on his iPhone. You get the picture. You get the message. Is there another one? There we go. I think there might be one more. Oh, I like this one. Please and thank you into Google. So, sometimes things for certain people can be quite tough, can't they? And quite challenging, and we can feel out of our depth. We can get frustrated. And it's just one sign that life is tough, and we don't know how to tackle it. Things can feel hidden from us. They can feel way out of sight, way over there. Sam, could you come and read the first bit of Joshua for me? Thank you.
Thanks. Do you want to find?
Yes, sit down. Sorry, no, please do.
Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests who are the Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass it on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan, go and stand in the river.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Stop there for now and I can finish off the rest in a bit. So in this piece of Old Testament scripture, the people who found these things challenging, who found that crossing the river impossible, were the Israelites. They were God's people. But for lots of reasons that the Old Testament fills us with, is that they had been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. Being in the wilderness meant that they were still not at rest in that place that God had created for them. They were not in that promised land that he had given them, that wonderful gift of milk and honey. Did they ever think that they would reach this place that they could only see from afar? I don't know. And I wonder if people who struggle with technology today ever feel like they will ever reach a place where they're comfortable and have an assurance about it. So what was hidden to the Israelites? That place where they could experience God in all his fullness. And similarly, I wonder if we ever feel the same in this world, like we're unable to see God at work. We're unable to believe that he is truly alive. When he is working, when there's so much darkness around us, can we believe that he is alive? Well, what changed in this chapter from the past 40 years of them wondering was they had a new leader. This man called Joshua had appeared. And he hears from God and shares this wisdom with the people. His name even means salvation. You know, way before Jesus, God had sent this man whose name meant Savior. He was always trying to rescue his people. He was a God who was constantly wanting to redeem his people, to bring them back to him. So Joshua brought a sign of hope that things were about to change. So what does he say that was so important? Let's get to the point. How does he give them confidence that after these 40 long years, this was the time? Well, I think he says one thing that Sam read. He says, consecrate yourselves today, or tomorrow you will do amazing things. The Lord will do amazing things amongst you. We will get strength for this world by making ourselves holy. That's what consecrate means. That is exactly what God's weapon is, to consecrate. Holiness can be a word that's got, I guess, a lot of connotations, hasn't it? It can mean, I don't know, I think of like saints sitting in heaven, surrounded by loads of angels, or just people who are like really good at being Christians. I'm like, that's not me. But actually, we're all called to be holy people. God's weapon is to make ourselves holy, to set ourselves aside for God. That's what to consecrate means, to dedicate our lives to God. So how do we really do that? It can still sound quite complicated and quite confusing. Well, we say, Jesus, take that bit of my life. And Jesus, take that bit of my life. So eventually, Jesus is Lord over all of our lives. So be it my struggles with technology, my doubts about what death means, self-harm, pornography, what I watch, what I listen to. When we begin to know that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, we rely less on that stuff. We need that stuff less and less. And they get replaced with times of prayer, time with Jesus. Joshua's word is, today is one thing, but tomorrow is different. Tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. So prayer and praise and saying, Jesus is Lord. It's very simple, really. That's how we consecrate ourselves. And I wonder if Peter can just come, there you are, just come and share a little bit around this idea of prayer. And how, maybe, I've never said this to you, but through your prayer recently, you are consecrating yourself. And you are dedicating your life to God. And I just wonder if you could just share a little bit about what your prayer life has looked like recently and how you've actually had a massive impact on other people.
Yeah, well, just to say that we've been having a prayer sort of group every Tuesday with a lot of our youth. And it's been really good. It's been encouraging. It makes me feel motivated and accountable, which is one of the big things, actually. Having something to pray or like a goal in mind is something that really has made me pray more and spend more time with God, because now I have more of a vision. Yeah, and in general, I've felt like I've grown closer to God with this time, and yeah, it's just been really good. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you. It's brilliant. So Peter may not realise he was consecrating himself, but he was dedicating, you know, that part of his life that he knew maybe wasn't as great as it could be, and saying, okay, Jesus, take that Tuesday night of my life, and I'm gonna say that that's my prayer time with you. It's so simple, really. Doesn't have to be a complicated maneuver of stuff. It's just saying, God, here I am. For tomorrow, the Lord is going to do amazing things amongst you. We can trust that is exactly what is happening during those prayer times. And the second point from this story of this long-lasting trial and struggle was that they were not alone. You never hear Joshua say, one Israelite, off you go. You never hear any of the Old Testament as just a singular Israelite. They were plural. They were together. And not just like together in a little group. They were like a whole nation of them. And that's never really struck me before until I was reading to prepare for this. But they were in the wilderness together. They listened to Joshua together. They went into the promised land together. And that power of community amongst the Israelites was so strong. I was on holiday a couple of weeks ago, and I was really fortunate to go on a little boat ride to see some dolphins. And it was so special. And we saw this bunch of dolphins, first of all. Actually, we were on the boat for like half an hour, and I was like, we're just not going to see any. This is just ridiculous. Like, we've paid this money, and it's just a lovely sea, but there's nothing in the sea. Like, actually, the person leading the trip saw this, like, what he thought was a little shark, and it actually just turned out to be like a plastic bottle top. So that was like my expectations, like, gone down. Anyway, eventually we saw some dolphins, and it was so wonderful. They were just there, not even just one or two, like a whole family of them. And I was like, isn't that amazing? And he was explaining that they were just a community of them all together. And we probably spent about half an hour with them. And they were like playing with the boat at the front of it because they love the water. And it was really special. Anyway, and then it was like a three-hour trip in total. So off we went again to another bit of the sea. It was like below Portugal. And then we saw like another cohort, really, another group of them. And the man eventually told us that the ones who we saw first were were probably the male communities of them that were on the edge of the sea, like nearer the beach where I would come out to. And that they probably were surrounding the second group that we saw, which were all females. Because with the females, we saw lots of baby dolphins. And so just that sense of, what does it look like to be a community? Well, it looks like to go somewhere together. And I don't really know where these dolphins were going, but they're having a great time. And there was just so many of them. So when I was preparing for this, that sense of, we can't go this journey of discipleship, of faith, of following Jesus alone. It is the strength of our relationships and friendships that help us. They have to help us. When we can't see which way to go, when the idea of who on earth is this God seems hidden, we have to turn to our friends. When we can't pray, others intercede on our behalf. So we need to hold our friends close. We need to be praying for one another more. We need to be praying for healthy relationships free from comparison. And so just to finish, how do we live then and grow as disciples in this tough world, especially if God feels hidden to you? Well, if we carry on and read the rest of Joshua from verse 14 onwards. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. And now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Darathan, while the water flowing down to the sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Joshua said before that, consecrate yourself today, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. The Lord did amazing things. He led them, not just through a little bit of river, but completely dry ground. That whole nation could cross without the fear of flood or water. We make ourselves holy together. He may feel hidden, but the gifts that God has in store for us, prayer and praise, and helping us to become more like him, by doing these things together and exploring these things together, is how we can grow as disciples this summer. And say that Jesus is Lord over our whole lives. In the midst of the struggles and the darkness we face, be it technology, again, God calls us to pray and to praise and to see his kingdom coming in those Kairos moments. Just like the Israelites listened to Joshua as he revealed a God who was hidden. I'm really excited that our young people, hopefully, if some of you would like to be involved, are going to help those people who I spoke to who struggled with technology this summer. And we're going to create a little community of people to help them learn and to help them just understand even just a few things. And that was the Holy Spirit that spoke to us about that. And I'm just so excited that we can go on that journey together. It might sound cliche and a bit cheesy, but we are going to help those older people from something that they found really difficult. So the way Joshua has led them became the perfect way, because the water stopped flowing, the people could cross over safely, and that whole nation passed by the ark and were allowed to enter into the promised land. And this was possible because they said to God, "We are ready for you," together. And because God was kind and loving to them. So by saying yes to Jesus, we are saying we are ready to grow as your disciples. We're ready to be holy. And we're ready to let the revelation of God become true to us and no longer be hidden. So as we share in this wonderful way of Jesus becoming known to us tonight, as Kim leads us, just, I guess, ask yourself the question, if God feels hidden to you, then let him be revealed tonight. It's these weapons that are here for you to make him alive and present in your life.